The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
If you knew what is prophesied to happen to the United States, and that means to you and to yours, within the very next few years, you would be very vitally concerned. A staggering turn in world events is prophesied to happen in the very next few years. It will violently involve the United States, Britain, Europe, the Middle East. And to a lesser extent, the entire world is going to be erupted in violence and in a staggering trouble that is going to come on the whole world. We're heading into it right now.
That's Herbert Armstrong talking on his old radio program. He said similar things in writing in his book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. The book starts out with that statement, a staggering turn in world events. This is the world we're living in right now. It is erupting, as he said. To quote the U.S. and BP, it says it will involve violently the U.S., Britain, Western Europe, the Middle East. It's already rather late for the free world to come awake to the real meaning behind current world events. And then he asks this, why do not the world's leaders see what is coming? Why can't they see it? Why are the world's best minds unseeing the heads of state, scientists, educators, editors, news analysts, bankers, industrialists, leaders in business and commerce? They are totally unaware. Why, he asks. Why are they unaware? Well, you can move forward a page or two in that introduction to that wonderful book and see the two primary reasons. First, they've been deceived, Mr. Armstrong says. They've been deceived by false education, an educational system that appeals to the vanity of intellect. False education, and the second reason is they don't have this vital key that's necessary to unlock the closed doors of Bible prophecy. That's why the U.S. and Britain in prophecy is so critical. It's not just about understanding our identity, the identity of our modern nations. It's about understanding all of Bible prophecy, understanding world events, knowing that we're in the midst of a staggering turn. All you need to do today to see just how blind the world is to what's happening, to the significance of world events, is to switch on the news, especially in Britain and the United States. One of my research assistants gave to me just today a screen grab from BBC here in the UK. It was rather shocking to him. These were the top stories, as reported at the BBC, under the U.S. tab, the America tab. This is what's going on in America. These are the stories you need to be aware of. These are the important stories of the day. The top story, U.S. women pass Army Ranger training. It's about two American women that pass through this grueling training program to become U.S. Army Rangers, one of the military's most elite special operations forces. This is America thrusting its women right to the front lines. Right to the front lines of major combat. That's the top story. Of course, not long ago, a traditional thinking man would have done everything in his power to shield a woman from danger to protect a woman from danger. Not anymore. Today we encourage them to get right out there on the front lines, in harm's way, right on the firing line. That's big news, because that represents, I suppose, equality for women. As does this next story. This is item number 2 on the BBC screen grab, just from this morning. Female Viagra gets U.S. approval. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration approves a libido-enhancing drug for women that's been dubbed Female Viagra. Finally, women have access to this drug, or a drug similar to what men have had these past many years. The third story, Chelsea Manning found guilty of breaching prison rules. Manning, you will recall, was born as a man, but identifies as a woman. He's the one that security breach from years ago. He's in prison now. But he's no longer a he. He doesn't see himself as a he anymore. He sees himself as a woman. And so that's how the story is reported. Right above the fourth story, Ashley Madison infidelity sites customer data leaked. This is big news. This is BBC News on what's happening in America. The Ashley Madison website has been compromised. The article says customer data stolen from Ashley Madison, a dating website for married people who wish to cheat on their spouse. It's been published. This information has been leaked. That's top news. Right above this piece, U.S. comedian's daughter found. Here's a story about the adopted daughter of a lesbian couple that's now divorced. A daughter who went missing because she had some kind of mental illness. That's top story number 5. Reporting on the United States of America, these are the headlines. And finally, number 6. The White House hires first transgender member of staff. Big news. Breaking new ground. The first ever transgender hired on in the White House. The BBC reports. The White House has hired its first openly transgender full-time member of staff. Officials have confirmed. Her commitment to transgender rights reflects the values of this administration, a senior White House official said. These are our values. This is what we're here to promote. This in the name of equality. Which brings us right back to the military. The article says the Department of Defense is reviewing its ban on transgender men and women from serving in the military. And the White House has said it welcomes that move. And so a little ways down the road, I suppose that will be the next major headline. Broadcast on BBC News. The day America finally gets transgenders in the military. Finally. It makes me think of what Joel Hilliker said just a few weeks ago. It's so crazy that if you saw these headlines on The Onion, you'd think it was a big joke. You'd think it was hilarious. But this is BBC. This is not The Onion. What a spectacle the United States has become before the whole world. What an embarrassment. Is it any wonder God inspired the prophet Isaiah to describe our latter-day society as being sick from head to toe. That's God's assessment. That's how the prophet Isaiah described it. He said the look on their faces testifies against them. The look on their faces, it testifies against them. Just look at them. Just look in the mirror. Look at what they're discussing. Look at what's being reported on. Look at what's important. Look at what the headlines are. Oh, there's plenty of glitz and glamour out there. It's a celebrity-soaked pop culture, no doubt about it. But then look at the unhappiness. Look at the misery. Look at the broken families and marriages. Look at the upside-down roles. It's engraved on our faces. They parade their sin like Sodom, Isaiah said. They do not hide it. That's from Isaiah 3 and verse 9. Well, it's right there out in the open. America parades the sin. And here comes the BBC to pick it all up. These are the headlines. These are the news items that we're picking up from America. Here's your U.S. News tab. For those of you interested, what a spectacle. You know, if you look at some of these media outlets, and just go back 30, 40 years ago, I have one snippet here from Time magazine. This is from 45 years ago, 1970. It says, the crisis in the family has implications that extend far beyond the walls of the home. It was talking about the breakdown in family, the crisis in the family. And the article, this is Time magazine from 1970, it then quotes the founder of the American Institute of Family Relations, who said, no society has ever survived after its family life deteriorated. No society. This is not just Isaiah 1 or Isaiah 3. This is no society, period, has ever survived after its family life deteriorated. Well, that quote from Time magazine, you could almost put that in one of Herbert Armstrong's books or booklets, who talked about often the foundation of a stable society. It's the family structure. Nothing in this world's more important than a happy home life with father, mother, and well-taught, happy children. There's nothing about that on the BBC today. But you have two stories about transgenders. You have stories about homosexuality. You have stories about women in the military. You have stories about husbands cheating on wives and wives cheating on husbands. All kinds of that. Plenty of that to go around. What would Time magazine talk about today if it featured the family in America? You can be sure there'd be a fair bit in there on homosexual marriage, on transgenders, adopting children, all the popular themes of today. I just want to take you through a passage in Romans. Hurry and get your Bible and read these verses with me, will you? And as you do, I want you to think about the fact that this is coming right out of the New Testament. Right out of the New Testament of your Bible, the Holy Bible. I paraphrased a bit of what Isaiah said in Isaiah 1 and Isaiah 3. We'll come back to that in the next segment. But look here at what the Apostle Paul says. This is Romans 1 and verse 21 to begin with. He says, for although they knew God, and they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile or vain. I'm reading from the Revised Standard Version in this verse. They became futile or vain in their thinking, and their senseless minds were darkened. Why did they become futile or vain in their thinking? Well, because they knew not God. They didn't honor God. They didn't give thanks to God. They didn't glorify him. They weren't thankful, it says in the King James. They became vain. And God says their foolish heart was darkened. Verse 22 continues, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Paul is saying instead of worshiping the true God, whom they actually knew, that mankind has made idols out of practically everything in this material creation. We worship anything, everything, anyone other than God. Anything visible, invisible, you name it. Anything that we can put in place of God, in place of His commandments, in place of God's truth. You see it on the headlines. You see it in one quick screen grab. What a world we're turning into. What a society we've become in the West, in the United States, in Britain. Verse 24 says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Would you listen again to what that says? God gave them up to uncleanness. Is God really trying to change the vast majority of the people in this world? Or has He given them up to see where their own ways are leading, to learn from experience the fruits of what comes from the way that seems right to men? As Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right. It seems like the right way to go. Everybody in society is going along with it, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Where will this end? It says here in the Scriptures, this is the New Testament, this is Romans 1, that God's given man up to the disobedient pulls of their own carnal minds. He's not yet trying to change the people of this world. As we've been covering with you recently, the world is cut off from God. The world has been sentenced since the Garden of Eden to 6,000 years of going it alone. And that's why we are where we are today. God has let man go to learn from the school of hard knocks. And yet, you look at the headlines, you read some of the featured stories, and you can obviously see that man hasn't learned the lesson yet, as bad as it is. There's still some hard lessons to learn, sadly. Verse 25 says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creation more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Does that sound familiar? Worshiping the creation, worshiping the physical, worshiping the material, more than the Creator of that, more than the Creator of the material world. For this cause, God says in verse 26, for this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Well, even their women went against nature. They went against their natural use. They went against their God-ordained role, their God-created role. For this cause, it says, God gave them up. There you see that phrase again. Does this suggest that the world as you see it today is God's world? Or are these verses pointing out what should be obvious to anyone with just a basic understanding of the Scriptures, that this is certainly not God's world? It's coming. It's coming, that world. In fact, it's been started. Jesus started it when He raised up and established the true church of God. that true church. It is the kingdom of God in embryo. And that kingdom is about to be born on this earth. It's about to encompass the earth. Notice verse 27. And likewise also the men. You heard about the women in verse 26. It says, the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust, one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. Well, that doesn't even need any commentary, does it? It's right out of the New Testament. That's Romans 1 and verse 27. God, throughout this passage, is telling us what would happen once we reject Him. Once we reject God. Because when they knew God, they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were they thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations. Notice verse 28. It says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over. There it is again. God gave them up. God gave them over. God turned them over. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, to do those things that are not right. He gave them over to a reprobate mind, or a mind void of judgment, you might see in the margin if you have a King James Version. He gave them over to minds void of judgment, minds without understanding. God has not yet tried to change the people of this world, just the few that He's called out in advance of the return of Christ, just a select few, because Christ needs a helpmeet, because Christ, the husband, needs a wife. God is reproducing Himself through marriage and family. That's why marriage and family is so distorted and twisted and upside down today when you look all across society. Because the God of this present world hates the God family vision. He hates marriage. He hates family. He hates the God-ordained roles. And so He's doing what He's done today. And just look at the headlines. One screen grab from the BBC tells you everything you need to know about where we are in society today. Verse 29. Let's finish the chapter. It says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Inventors of evil things. What will it be next? You have to ask. Disobedient to parents, it says, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. This is the world today. You can find a similar listing over in 2 Timothy 3. We've been going through that quite a lot recently. Paul gives a similar list in 1 Corinthians 6. Galatians 5. Why? Over and over and over and over. Well, because he tried to help his congregations to see that this world and all that you see in it is not God's world. It's the present evil world, he said in Galatians 1:4. And it's going to get much, much worse in the latter days, he said in 2 Timothy 3:13. And so here's where we are. One screen grab from the BBC US page this morning. That's it. Verse 32 says, "Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." Can that really be true? All that's listed in verses 29 through 31, filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, envy, murder, debate, all that. That they which commit such things are worthy of death? What is Paul talking about? How could he come on so strong? How could he be so harsh? The Revised Standard Version for verse 32 says, "Though they know God's decree that those who do such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but they approve those who practice them." They know God's decree. They know what God's position is on so many of these bizarre activities, on so many of these bizarre lifestyles. They know what God's position is. But it doesn't matter. They go on and accept what they see around them. And not only that, they approve of it. They approve those who practice these ways. These are those who just consent to the wrong or the evildoers. Or as it says in the Old Testament, Exodus 23:2, they follow a multitude to do evil, and so everyone must go along. These are the low, low standards of the day, and they keep getting lower. And if you're not on board with it, you must be a bigot, you must be a racist, you must be this, you must be that. But look at what God says. Look at God's assessment. God is allowing man to learn just how wretched his own ways are in comparison to God's ways. God's ways of happiness and abundance. Those ways are about to be established on this earth. Everyone will soon become familiar with those ways. Once Jesus Christ returns, and the government of God is firmly established on this earth. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show on KPCG 101.3 on the FM dial there in Edmond, Oklahoma. Everywhere else, for those of us here in Edstone, for wherever it is that you may be around the world, if you have internet access, you can listen to the live stream at kpcg.fm. Send us your email, your feedback, to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
You're living in terrifying times, and you probably don't realize it. You're just so interested in this apparent time of peace, and you like to get it out of your mind, and it's a time when we can have mechanical and material luxuries and gadgets and things, and we're so interested in those things. We're so self-centered in our own selves and other people and the things that our hands can make, in human interests, in television, in the new kind of movies that are coming out, in everything to amuse and entertain ourselves. We don't realize how empty our lives are either.
We don't realize just how empty our lives are. And going back to that first clip I played at the top of the show, we don't realize we're living in the midst of a staggering turn in world events. Staggering turn. And yet look at the headlines. Look at what makes the news. Look at what are the lead stories. I paraphrased Isaiah the prophet, what he said early on in his book. Let's go over there, Isaiah chapter 1, and just read a few verses from this first chapter where it describes our society today as being sick, sick from head to toe. That's God's assessment. Verse 2, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken." I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people does not consider. God here is comparing us to some pretty stupid animals, really, that have a better sense of their owner than we do. Verse 4, ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They're gone away backward. That's referring to the descendants of Israel as a whole, God's people, the latter-day descendants of Israelites, which would be primarily the United States and Britain. Get that book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy, if you haven't already, and prove it for yourself. See why that went out to more than 6 million people around the world. Get that book and be educated. And grab hold of the master key to prophecy. And then you can understand world events. Then you can know what's significant. Then you can know where it's headed, where we're leading. Verse 5 says, why should we be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They've not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. It's right from the head, the top of our head, the hairs on the top of our head, right down to our toenails. Sickness through and through. Verse 7 says, your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers, devour it in your presence. And it's desolate, as overthrown by strangers. Here we are, being overthrown by strangers. They're just pouring into America's, well, pouring past the borders. What's left of the borders. And even there, you look at the news cycles, you look at what the hot topic of the day is. Whether those who come in illegally, if they have children, if those children should be citizens or not. That's today's hot topic. Whether or not that's right, whether or not they should be sent home or not. And meanwhile, just being overrun by strangers. It continues. It increases. Little or nothing is done. Pat Buchanan had a column yesterday, Immigration, the Issue of the Century. You have to give him credit. He's been on this, and just a few others. But not nearly enough. He writes, will the West endure or disappear by the century's end as another lost civilization? Mass immigration, if it continues, will be more decisive in deciding the fate of the West than Islamist terrorism. For the world is invading the West. He asks, is that a wild exaggeration? Well, consider the facts. Look at what's happening. He referred to a headline at the Washington Post the other day about the escalating rash of violent attacks against refugees in Germany. It's not just an American problem. It's not just a British problem. It's a big problem in Germany, too, where they're seeing a rise in arson attacks and physical assaults against refugees and refugee centers. In that story, there's this astonishing statistic, the one that Buchanan refers to. It says, Germany, which took in 174,000 asylum seekers last year, is on schedule to take in 500,000 this year. Yet Germany is smaller than Montana. How long can a geographically limited and crowded German nation, already experiencing ugly racial conflict, take in a half a million third world people every year without tearing itself apart and changing the character of the nation forever? In other words, how long can this continue for Germany? You just look at the numbers. You just look at the increases, and you know that the stage is being set for a spectacular backlash, for a new and intense wave of anti-immigrant behavior. Not so much in the United States, but certainly in Germany. If you think about what Adolf Hitler did in the early 1930s, he really did exploit that anti-immigrant public sentiment. In the lead up to grabbing power, grabbing control of the nation, you watch the illegal flow of immigration in Germany and how it really contributes to bringing on that strongman. We've talked about the impact that a global economic downturn will have on that prophesied development as well. This too, no doubt, will factor in. With the United States, on the other hand, you see it just bringing the country down. The world's greatest superpower, the greatest superpower in history, with wide open borders, and people by the millions are streaming across. Buchanan's article really is about the problem worldwide, or in the West, as he says. Not specifically the United States, but certainly the United States leads the way in opening its borders to asylum seekers. Buchanan says, and these refugees, asylum seekers, and illegal immigrants are not going to stop coming to Europe, for they're being driven across the Mediterranean by wars in Libya, Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, and Yemen, by the horrific conditions in Eritrea, Ethiopia, Somalia, and Sudan, by the Islamist terrorism of the Mideast, and the abject poverty of the Sub-Sahara. Is this God's world? They're being driven across the Mediterranean by war in Libya, Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, and Yemen, by horrible conditions in Eritrea, Ethiopia, Somalia, and so on, by terrorism across the Middle East, by abject poverty in the Sub-Sahara. This is your world. Watch and pray always, Jesus said. The end of the world is at hand. Watch unto prayer. Peter said that. It says, according to the UN, this is Pat Buchanan, Africa had 1.1 billion people in 2013, will double to 2.4 billion by 2050, and then again double again to 4.2 billion by 2100. In other words, they're multiplying faster than anywhere else on earth. He says, how many of these billions dream of coming to Europe? You could say the same about Central, South America, Mexico. When and why will they stop coming? How many can Europe absorb without going bankrupt and changing the continent forever? Does Europe have the toughness to seal its borders and send back the intruders? Well, not yet. It doesn't have the toughness yet to seal its borders. It doesn't have the toughness yet to send back the intruders. But now listen. Look at history. There has been a time when those borders were sealed and when immigrants were run off, persecuted, massacred. We better wake up and watch what's happening in this world. Later on, Buchanan says, the blazing issue in Britain and France is the thousands of Arab and African asylum seekers clustered about Calais to traverse the Eurotunnel to Dover. The Brits are on fire. Millions want out of the EU. They want to remain who they are. Each week we read of boats sinking in the Med with hundreds of refugees drowning. Yet many, many more make it to the Greek and Italian islands and thence north to Germany and Scandinavia and the welfare states of Western Europe. Once they step onto EU soil, they're in. They're in. This unending invasion has called into existence anti-immigrant and anti-EU parties in almost every country in Europe. Few of these parties existed at the turn of the century. How does this all end? Few of these parties, these anti-immigrant parties, even existed 15 years ago. Today, they're all over the place. Today, violence. Violence against immigrants. There's a new wave of it in Germany and elsewhere. How does this end? How does this end? With the population increases, with all that's happening in this world, with all the wars and the violence, with the abject poverty in the sub-Saharan region, with the spread of terrorism, how does it end? Buchanan concludes with this: the great and growing populations of mankind are in the third world. Countless millions are determined to come to the West legally if they can, illegally if they must, and the more who succeed, the more who come. Either Western nations take tough measures to secure their borders, or the Western nations will be swamped. The character of their countries will be altered forever, and smaller countries will become unrecognizable. And as this is happening, ethnic and racial clashes will become more common, as they are now becoming across Europe. It's happening. It's setting the stage for a strong man to show up and to say, "That's it. We've had enough. The doors are closed. Those who are here illegally are going out." Those tough measures are coming in Europe, not so much in the United States. There's a lot to keep an eye on. Here in Isaiah 1, just to finish with one more verse, it says, "Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like Gomorrah." There is a very small remnant today. But beside that, well, the rest is like Sodom and Gomorrah. Isaiah said this. And it's not just the Old Testament that referred back to that event in Genesis. Jesus referred to it. Jesus said, as in the days of Noah. Jesus said that it would be just like Sodom and Gomorrah in our latter days. That's where we are today. And you can see it. You can see it even in the headlines. You can see it even in one simple screen grab. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show on KPCG 101.3 on the FM dial in Edmond, Oklahoma. The live stream's available at kpcg.fm. We'll take a quick break and then come back for some concluding remarks. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
I just want to, in closing here, refer you back to what Mr. Armstrong said about the two reasons for the gross ignorance when it comes to understanding world events. The commentators today, he said, have been deceived by false education. That's number one. And then they lack the vital key necessary to unlock the closed doors of Bible prophecy. That's why you need the United States and Britain in prophecy. That book that went to more than 6 million people around the world over the course of 50-some years. But going back to that first cause, deceived by false education, we've been talking a fair bit this week about true education as opposed to false. Starting this week with orientation at Armstrong College, and then today, our first day of classes. I went through Hosea 4, some of it, on Monday's program, just to remind you of what verse 1 over there says. Hosea 4 and verse 1, it says that there's no truth nor knowledge of God in the land. Put that together with what Paul said in Romans 1. When we don't retain God in our knowledge, when we reject God, when we start worshiping the creation more than the Creator, well, what happens? If you look at what Hosea says there, or continues to say, it leads to destruction. No truth in the land. Look at John 8:44 on your own time later. Hosea 4:1 says there's no truth in the land, and John 8, verse 44, Jesus said there that there's no truth in the devil. What does that tell you about who the God of this world is? What does that tell you about the world today? No truth in the land. Look over at Mark chapter 7. I think we have enough time to just go through this quickly. A couple verses here and then to finish in the Gospel of John. But in Mark 7 and verse 7, Jesus said here, "Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." He goes on and talks about man laying aside the commandments of God so that they can hold to the traditions of men, human traditions. That's what human beings would rather observe more than anything else, certainly rather than surrender to God. Human traditions, serving self, intellectual vanity. In John 8, we can conclude here, as I said, John chapter 8 and verse 31, I read this just the other day to our students at Armstrong College. It says in verse 31, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. And the truth," it says, "the truth shall make you free." It's God's truth, it's God's word that frees us from the confusion, from the sickness, from the disease of our modern culture. God's truth sets you free, and as it says over in John 17, God's truth is His word, the Holy Bible. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. That's all there is that will set you apart or sanctify you apart from this world and the ways of this world. It's the truth of God. It's God's doctrine. It's God's laws. That's what makes the people of God the people of God, God's truth. God's people submit to, hold on to, and disseminate the truth of God. That's what we're here to distribute to you from this radio station. OnTheTrumpet.com, through the many books and booklets and articles that we produce regularly, on the Key of David, the truth of God. That's what makes this program and everything else that we produce so different and so unique. Because when you look across the land, as Hosea said, there's no truth in the land. There's no knowledge of God left. It's all gone. Well, but like Isaiah said, there is a remnant. There is a very small remnant that proudly proclaims that truth, that's raising the ruins of a beautiful society on two small campuses, a way of life that will soon spread over all the earth. That's all we have time to get into for this particular program. Thank you for listening today. We really do appreciate you following along on the website or on the SoundCloud page that we have. Tune in on the iPhones or the smartphones and any of the other number of ways that there are for you to follow the Trumpet Daily and other programs on KPCG. Today is Wednesday, of course, which means at the top of the hour we have yet another Trumpet Hour broadcast. That'll be just in a few minutes from now, so you'll want to stay tuned for that particular program as well. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you again tomorrow.